Well, welcome into the Fan pregame here on SportsCenter, SportsCenter 590. The Fan, Ailish and Justin with you all night as we've got Leafs Sens Game 3 here on the network and on SportsCenter 590. The Fan will take the pregame show at 6:30, where we'll hear from Luke Fox, who's down in Ottawa. See how many blue jerseys he can count when he calls us.
Mixing up with local Ottawa Senators fans.
That is right. So we'll chat with Luke in our pregame show around 6:30. We'll bring in Frank Saravelli in a few moments here to go through the rest of the NHL. But a lot of big games tonight on the network. As we mentioned, Leafs Sens Game 3, Toronto with a 2-0 lead in that series. Winnipeg St. Louis Game 3, Winnipeg with a 2-0 lead in that series. Florida with a 1-0 lead over Tampa. That's Game 2 tonight. And then Vegas and Minnesota, a 1-1 tie between those folks as they go for Game 3.
Yeah, big night. Couple doubleheaders on different Sportsnet channels. Very excited for another night of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
All right, let's bring in Frank. Frank Saravelli, Daily Faceoff. Frank, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
We are good, and we are going to do, our first ever playoff edition of Frank or Fiction.
Let's go.
It's time for Frank or Fiction.
I thought it would be better than that, to be honest. Frank times a million.
I like when I get a Frank.
Every now and again, you're going to mix in a turd. It just is a fact of life.
Very nice. Well, welcome to Frank or Fiction playoff edition. Now, we're going to try to go through all the series. Let's start with, we'll start with the one that's on after us, which is Leafs Sens Game 3 on Sportsnet, 7 p.m. puck drop. My first question for you, Frank or Fiction, the Sens have been the better team at 5-on-5, because this is a spicy one all over the Twitter sphere.
Ooh, I'm going to say, I'm going to lean toward that being Frank.
Okay.
I think it's very close. I would say either way, the most that anyone has an advantage at 5-on-5 is 53-47. Mm-hmm. And I would say that given how opportunistic in a strong way the Leafs have been on the power play, that it's given them such a leg up in the series. That plus scoring early in both the games, it just takes the heat off and the temperature way down. And so that part has been huge. This has been the most confident that the Leafs have looked in any playoff round in the Marners and Matthews era. And I will say that it is also Frank that this right here, what the Leafs are experiencing, is the spoils of winning the Atlantic Division.
Frank or Fiction, Ann Lauer, Steos, and the Ottawa Senators will be successful in keeping blue shirts out of the arena tonight.
I will say fiction. Look, you can't control what happens on the secondary market. And I did see a quote from Cyril Leader, who runs the Senators business ops, who said about 19,000 tickets have sold and they expect that approximately 1,000 of them are going to be Leaf fans. I bet that total is going to be higher than that.
1,000 blue and white shirts.
That would be a success.
We will we'll get our reporters to count individually. But yeah, I think it might be a little bit more than that. Okay, one last one, I think, for us from Ottawa-Toronto series. The Sens will find more composure tonight. Even though it's their first home playoff game in 8 years, they will reel it in a little bit.
I'm going to say that's fiction. I think they're going to be amped up, and I don't know that that's necessarily a negative thing either. I think this is a team that brings the energy. I think this is a team that had played with a ton of emotion in the second half of the season. And with Brady Tkachuk at the helm, it's hard to really kind of think that this is a team that's going to dial it back a notch. So I'm going to say that that's fiction as well.
All right, Justin, pick your next series.
Let's go to Edmonton, LA last night.
Ooh,
let's go to Edmonton, LA. An easy one to start off. Fact or Frank or Fiction, rather. The Oilers they're cooked, Frank.
I'm leaning toward that being Frank. Look, statistics, the numbers don't lie. 86 or 88% of the time that a team goes up 2-0, it's over. They go on to win the series. And beyond that, it's a two-part problem for... Well, you might be able to make the argument it's a three-part problem for the Oilers. One, they have given out gifts like Santa Claus so far in terms of the goals that they've allowed. Two, with 12 goals against in two games, you know, Stuart Skinner is allowed to make a save every now and again. And I think that part certainly stands out. I think they have to make a goaltending change for game three, just from a pure spark and attention to detail perspective going to Cal Pickard. And three, this series has been the exact opposite of last year. Remember, the Kings were 0-for on the power play. And after that, it was a short series because not only were the Oilers perfect on the penalty kill, but also crushed them on the power play at nearly 50%. This time around, the Kings are at 50%, and the Oilers' power play has been very poor, which is typically their leg up. So I'm going to say, to smash all those three things together, that it is Frank, that the Edmonton Oilers are going to experience their first real heartbreak when it comes to a Connor McDavid playoff run.
Okay, that leads perfectly into my next question. Frank or fiction? Losing in the first round will have devastating consequences to those employed by the Oilers this offseason.
I'm going to say that's fiction for the most part. I guess those employed is a very broad brush.
The concession stand, the ticket sales.
Someone's got to pay.
Popcorn maker. Someone's got to pay, Frank.
Who's going to pay are going to be some of the guys on the roster. I think this team needs a bit of a reset. And I think with Jeff Jackson relatively, you know, new in the role as CEO of hockey ops, and Stan Bowman in his first year as general manager, and Chris Knobloch in his second season as head coach, like, those aren't the changes that are likely to be made. Now, this team is older and slower than it was 1 year ago. Six of the players on the roster were in the lineup on game 7 of the Stanley Cup final that are no longer there. And so that part really stands out as well. There have been personnel issues, but I think this roster desperately needs a reset. And I think they have some real significant questions to answer with regards to both their goaltending and what do you pay Evan Bouchard moving forward?
Yeah, you led me where I was going to next, but I was just going to say, it feels like the percentage of players that are rowing in the same direction this year, this time around, with McDavid and Draisaitl is unbelievably low. Like, it was really hard last night watching, trying to figure out someone that was being, like, having a positive influence. Really, the list was very short for me. You mentioned Bouchard. Frank or fiction? Meeting Evan Bouchard's market value will damage Edmonton's chances of actually winning a Stanley Cup in the McDavid and Draisaitl era?
Absolute Frank. Look, I think you have to do everything you can to cap Evan Bouchard at, honestly, at this point in time, I don't know how much I'd be willing to stretch over $8.5 million. And some might say, oh, look at the rising cap. Look at what defensemen have been making. That's an entirely unreasonable number, given that Evan Bouchard had an 82-point season last year. And, you know, I think with the limitations that exist in his game, yes, there are so few players in the NHL that can do exactly what Evan Bouchard does. And I get that perspective of it. But at a certain point, you're going to run into some serious issues with Darnell Nurse being paid what he is at 9.25. You know, we've got Leon Draisaitl at 14. I think you can ballpark Connor McDavid on his next deal at 16. That's 40 right there. What are you giving Evan Bouchard on top of it? The cap's increasing, but not at that rate, and that's going to be problematic. So I do think it will, if they pay market rate, if they get to $10 million or close to it, I think they're in big trouble.
Yeah, the Four Nations has made me look at things a little different now, because we were trying to pick that team, and Bouchard was like a shoe-in to make it, at least in terms of public perception. I don't think he ever had a chance, because that roster or that management team pick guys you can win with, and I don't think Bouchard was ever even considered for that. I don't know that as a fact. But if you look what he did last night, I mean, the players who played in that game, USA-Canada final, none of them were playing the way Bouchard did last night.
Well, Frank or fiction, was Bouchard considered?
I was just going to say, I never heard his name.
Yeah.
So fiction. Or Frank, he wasn't.
So probably don't pay him $9 million.
Okay. Let's go to another game on the network tonight, Winnipeg and St. Louis. Now, Winnipeg's with a 2-0 series lead. But Frank or fiction, Hellebuck hasn't been the reason why they're up at a 2-0 lead over St. Louis.
Frank, Hellebuck's been fine. I think he really settled in starting with the second period of game 1. But it was maybe the turning point was that Kyrou breakaway that he stopped late in the second that kind of propelled him to settle down. But I would say giving up 3 goals on 10 shots to start the series, it's not as if he has completely locked it down. And I think maybe that's the secret to goaltending. Yeah, you need a guy to steal you a game or a series or whatever it might be at some point on the journey, but he doesn't have to be lights out every night. And I think this Jets team scores well enough and defends well enough to be able to allow him some freedom and flexibility to get comfortable in a series or a playoff run.
Frank or fiction, then it's kind of on the same course, but Hellebuck after this series will have to be clearly their best player for them to continue to advance.
I will agree in that, and I think that's Frank as well, that they can't win with mediocre goaltending. I don't think anyone can. You have to be able to get some modicum of it, whether it's in that 900 range or what. Again, you don't have to shoot the lights out. It makes life a lot easier if he does, but he can't certainly be in the way. And I think as the competition, the level of competition steps up with each successive round and the quality of opponents, like that's a big reason why I think the Leafs have been as comfortable as they've been, is they are the clearly superior team. The Winnipeg Jets are the clearly superior team over the St. Louis Blues. But when you get to the next round and watch the way Colorado and Dallas have slugged it out with almost no room on the ice, that scoring is going to dry up in a hurry.
Okay, let's go to Colorado, Dallas, since you mentioned them. A 2-0 lead in the series for Dallas, but they've only led for a combined 62 seconds in three games, and yet they hold that 2-1 series lead. Is this maybe the craziest first-round matchup so far, Frank, or fiction?
Fiction, because we haven't seen
enough of the Battle of Florida.
Florida, because I was actually in Dallas for game two on Monday, and I was flying back on Tuesday. And it was during the game, so I missed some of them. And I had to text a couple of people like, wait, 5 goals on 11 shots? Is that a real thing or is my computer glitching? And they're like, no, it's that's actually happening. And to have that happen on Andrei Vasilevskiy, of all people, shocking. So I would say that has a real chance to be a banana series. And it also has a chance, if the Panthers are able to win tonight in Tampa, to be a short series.
Yeah. 45 goals allowed in the last 12 postseason games for Vasilevskiy. So, Frank or fiction, he has playoff yips.
Look, I'm sorry. I can't say that any two-time Stanley Cup winning goalie has the yips. I'm going to say fiction.
I think you're trying to radio Frank.
That's a bad stat line. He's going to be number two in the Vezina Trophy discussion this year. He'll be, well, not in Las Vegas because, oh no, are they doing that this year, Frank? Frank or fiction? Award show?
Not in Vegas. I don't think they're doing an award show at all. I think they're trying to do something where they film some really cool videos.
Yes. Josh Allen style. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Frank or fiction, maybe more fair of me to ask. The show up on the first day of playoffs card that Florida played with Matthew Tkachuk will be the final time any NHL team is allowed to do that.
Fiction. Look, I know that this has been a source of consternation for NHL general managers, more so for fan bases around the league. But my understanding was that as the NHL entered collective bargaining talks with the NHLPA, which were expected to continue on later this week after a week-long hiatus, is that this wasn't fixing LTIR wasn't in the NHL's top 10 list of things that they wanted to tackle. And so I don't know how problematic they view it. And in the end, Matthew Tkachuk quite literally giving his body for a league event at Four Nations where he was clearly and seriously injured. I mean, they had the cap space to activate him if they wanted to with the Ekblad PED suspension. So I don't really know what leg anyone has to stand on in complaining about this one.
Let's go to the one series tonight that we didn't touch on, and the only one that is tied up 1-1, Vegas, Minnesota. So, Frank or fiction, Kaprizov has flipped Minnesota's chances at upsetting Vegas.
That's Frank. It's not just Kaprizov, it's their whole roster that's healthy. I mean, look, this is a Minnesota Wild team that missed the playoffs last year. And if I had told you that Kaprizov missed exactly half the games, Eriksson Ek missed 30, Brodin, all these other guys on their roster, Spurgeon, had all missed significant chunks of the season and yet still made the playoffs, I think you'd all say that that's certainly a marker of success or a successful season. Now that they're back and healthy, Kaprizov is showing why he's one of the top 10 players in the game. That sauce on that pass, dropping it like a quarter in a Coke machine from 100 feet away, it's insane. It reminded me of the Erik Karlsson one from 2017, speaking of last time the Sens were in the playoffs, that incredible, it was like a touchdown throw, like from the goal line in Boston in the first round that propelled the Sens to the conference final. I'm not saying that one pass is going to do the same, but I think Vegas is on alert after the way that not just a high-skilled game, but a bruising game that the Minnesota Wild play. You may get past them, but they're going to leave you bloodied.
Two series left. Probably not a surprise that we're leaving Devils Carolina to last. So let's go to Montreal, Washington. Interesting third period tactics from Marty Saint-Louis. Frank or fiction? Patrick Laine will be better in this series for his third period benching.
Fiction. I guess I struggle to understand what exactly Patrick Laine brings to the lineup to help you win. He seems at this point in time like a power play specialist, a guy that has a lethal shot that when he gets it off, that he has a real good chance of it going in. But questionable decisions with the puck, you see that one right there. Not hard on pucks. Poor back-checking and attention to detail. All things that, hey, look, you know, there's a comparison to be made here to Andrei Kuzmenko in Los Angeles and the impact that he's had on the series. When things have gotten tight in that series, guess where Andrei Kuzmenko has been? Stapled to Jim Hiller's bench. And so there's something to be said for a guy that can help you and is third in the league or fourth in the league in power play goals this year. But when you play such a tight game as these two teams have done through the first two, it might be hard for him to get ice time, and I have a harder time seeing him being an impactful piece because he hasn't looked like a threat on the power play either.
Last series to cover, New Jersey-Carolina, 2-0 series lead for Carolina. Frank or fiction, the Devils don't have enough firepower without Jack Hughes to make this series, I guess, within reach.
Frank, this is going to be a sweep. The Devils are cooked. Beyond that, the Devils just are not a very good hockey team. They're a flawed roster. They're 28th place in the league since January 1st, long before the Jack Hughes injury, were not playing very well. Then you pile on both Hughes injuries. Dougie Hamilton's been banged up. Brendan Dillon out. I see a very flawed team going up against a Carolina team that's got not just firepower, but a consistency to its game that is enviable throughout the rest of the league. And this bracket has set up very nicely for the Carolina Hurricanes to make a run.
Okay, we just did some adjusting on the fly because you answered this next question, so I edited it.
I don't know if he needed that.
Well, I think so, because he's been like reading our doc. He's just following us along very well. Okay. With our questions. Okay, Frank or fiction, more than one series will end in a sweep.
I'll say fiction. I think there's enough that we've seen from the Blues, the Oilers, that they're going to find a way to get on the board. Look, I think it's really difficult to sweep a team, but I think it takes a significant mismatch. And I certainly think with how tight the third period and frankly the overtime have been in the Washington Montreal series, like I think Montreal has a puncher's chance, to be honest, to pull even and make this a real series. Because I know that the first two games haven't exactly been pretty. Like you look at the first two periods of game two, 12 shots on goal, not getting to the middle enough. But then I watched the third period, and some of that, I guess, is score effects, but 14 shots and doing all those things, five at least glorious opportunities to tie the game and send it to OT. We're talking about the potential of two games in the first, you know, two of the series to go to OT. I know it's ifs and buts, but still, I think Montreal's a lot closer and dialed into this series than many would want to admit in Washington.
Yeah, I've been assuming that it's, hey, we got the lead, dust our hands, this job is done for Washington, but their inability to separate is interesting, and I guess it's hard to win a series by four games if you have an inability to separate. Okay, non-playoff. Chris Drury retained by the New York Rangers this week. Rangers were wise, Frank or fiction, to do that.
Frank. This is their guy. They've stuck with him. They had two trips to the conference final in 3 years. They won a President's Trophy. Now, a lot of people might say, well, Chris Drury plunged the New York Rangers into chaos this year by sending out that memo, which tanked their season. They were 12-4 to start the year, 12-7 when the memo was sent out, and look at their record since then. And all of that may be true, but I think he's wanted to make some changes to this roster that he's met a lot of resistance on, whether it's been by no trade clauses or some of the contracts that have been handed out. I think he has a clear vision for what this team wants to be. And I think what the extension does is sends a message to any member of the New York Rangers. You're either part of the plan and part of solving for a solution here, or you're part of the problem and you're going to be playing somewhere else in short order. And the other amazing part about what Chris Drury has done in moving out some of these players is that for some of these tough contracts, he's been able to get off of them scot-free.
All right, Frank, that's all of our questions for Frank or Fiction. But I do have a question. Are you going to any more series in the first round?
I really like being at home for round one. I know, yeah, I'm just like, when I'm at a game, I just feel like I'm yearning to, like, hey, can you change the channel on the press box TV so I can see the other ones? And I feel like I'm better suited to be able to control my destiny with the remote in my hands. And I mean, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of jokes to be made about that.
That's good. All right, maybe round two, you'll pick a new location and we will hear from your travels. Maybe you'll get in that that bathroom stall.
It was in Edmonton, so probably not.
Was it?
Yeah. I got to tell you, I was just happy to get out of Dallas in general. It was 95 degrees Fahrenheit when I left. Like, tornadoes rolling in this weekend. Like, I was just like, all right, I'm not built for this. I got to go home.
Okay, well, enjoy the viewing experience for the rest of the round one. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Thanks so much. That's Frank Saravelli, Daily Faceoff, president of hockey content there. Yeah, lots to watch tonight. Four games in action. As we mentioned, it's Toronto-Ottawa. That's a game three with a 2-0 lead. The Leafs rolling into Ottawa. That one's up next on Sportsnet. The doubleheader there on Sportsnet will be Winnipeg and St. Louis. Also a game three. Also 2-0 series lead for Winnipeg. It's around a 9:30 start. On Sportsnet 360, your doubleheader is Florida and Tampa. That's game two. 6:30 start. In moments.
If you had to pick another sweep very quickly, which one would you pick? Assuming Carolina and New Jersey is your favorite.
I don't really think sweeps are really happening.
Okay.
But there's something about L.A.
I think it's L.A.
Yeah.
I think L.A. can win game three, and it is officially 3-2-1 Cancun.
Yeah.
For Edmonton.
Well, we have to wait for that one tomorrow night. We'll tee it up. I was going to say it looks really bad, but I was talking about Edmonton.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the attention will go to Edmonton being so bad, but I think part of this is L.A. looking really good. Mm-hmm. Like, they're pretty impressive, these first two games.
Got to get some of those Conn Smythe bets in.
Kempe, we might have missed the boat.
No, I do feel good. I
7 points in two games for Kempe.
You kind of missed that. But I do feel good that Montreal can get one game here. When they go back to the Bell Center, it's going to be crazy in there. They've been too close, and they've played such, like, great third periods. So if they could just extend that and try to play a full game, I think they can win one or two against Washington at least.
Yeah, they're a two-line team right now, though. They shortened it, obviously. They didn't play with a fourth line. The third line was just the best they could do with the bottom six. It's pretty stark, the contrast between the haves and have-not there, or the haves and have-nots. They're going to have to sort that out.
Okay, let's do some best bets for tonight as we preview the rest of the games across the network. Blue Jays not in action today, so you don't need to bet the under.
Fair.
Anyway, I'm going to go with the Leafs. You know, I just see them as plus money tonight on all of these different books. And you can't ignore that they've been the better team, that they're riding a little bit of momentum here, and that they seem more experienced. So plus 110 Leafs in a playoff game when they're up 2-0, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, if you get plus money on one of these teams leading 2-0, it might be wise to chase it.
I think you
might end up on top if you do it that route. I'm going to go with the Bolts minus 125, Tampa Bay Lightning to even their Florida series.
I like that one too.
Tonight, I think desperation has to set in. This is a professional team. They know if they're down 2-0 on home ice, it is probably curtains against a team like the Florida Panthers. So some desperation.
And they were embarrassing game one
for the Lightning. And they were. And Vasilevsky may have the yips, but he's got to play better in this one. And Nuggets Clippers is easily, we're not doing much NBA right now. We're going to get to it. Nuggets Clippers is a banger first round series. I think it's a coin flip every single night. And the Nuggets are catching 5.5 points in L.A. for game three. I think all these games are going to be decided very late, with the winner being on equal opportunity both sides. I'll take the points for the Nuggets tonight.
Okay, we will take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do our Molson Leafs hockey pregame show where we'll hear from Luke Fox, who is in the arena in Ottawa, and see if he can count all 1,000 of the fans that apparently have been buying tickets.
Taking Leafs tonight, but don't believe in the series being a sweep, potentially?
Yeah, I think they'll maybe get one. We'll take a quick break. See you back on Molson Leafs hockey.